Yeti doesn't fuck around. You're absolutely right.
Well, howdy, folks. It's Friday, and we are drunk and retired.
So I officially lost my first set of AirPods.
You lost them?
Yeah. Oh, that you sound so much better now.
Oh, good.
Yes. So it was the famous story of you put it in a bag and you put a bunch of other stuff in that bag and you take the stuff out of the bag, but you forgot that you put your AirPods in that bag and you throw the bag away and you're like, I think I left my AirPods in that bag. Son of a bitch.
Don't they come in a little like box like that?
Yeah, well, I put that box in there because I didn't have any pockets because I was, yeah, exactly that thing. So I'm actually thinking about going up with that, the next step to the AirPod Pro now.
Pros? Because that's what,
yeah.
I'm into them, man. I thought they were, so it's one of those moments, it's like when we reflect on how much we get paid to do what is ultimately kind of menial labor. Compared to like,
hey, should we be recording? We are good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
good, compared this is to all the podcast material.
Yeah. Compared to the work of like, most of my friends are doctors or teachers, and they're just such better people in what they're doing for this world than we are playing with Cooper Whatties and other stuff. Yet we are paid profoundly more. So, in that context, it feels gross how much we can spend on a pair of headphones. Outside of that context, like just in amongst ourselves, yeah, they're totally worth it, man. These are great. It's a great upgrade.
Oh, that's good.
Plus, you can expense them.
Actually, what? That's true.
Of course. Yeah. It's part of it. Like, you need decent headphones and microphones to do your job.
Yeah.
I'm paid to write.
Well, which is terrifying. The headphones I'm wearing are the famous Bose flight headphones that you see everyone wearing. I've gotten used to wearing them all the time. But when I go on the walks that we do, like, I can't wear these. Like, it just won't work. Like, you just sweat too much. So I need earbuds. And I learned when I was traveling on through airports and or, like, random city that I would be speaking at, wearing these during the day just wouldn't work. So I needed those earbuds to be, like, for, like, mobile moments of the day. And I really, really used them a lot until obviously the world and I didn't.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a worthwhile investment. And I just haven't been able to pull the trigger yet.
Single-handedly, the best feature is if I like click down and hold it, it goes from noise cancellation mode to open mode where you can just hear everything really crisp and clearly around you. Ooh. So you can like just pause it, turn it into open mode, have a conversation. Don't have to like pull them out, put them in the dumb little box. So that is pretty neat. The one gotcha, not once in like 2 years of AirPods did I have a problem where like I dropped the case and like they popped out or anything. I have fumbled these guys like 4 times. It's just like, I don't know if my fingers have gotten sausagey over the years or what, but I think there's something about the structure here that is just not conducive.
Is it the power, like no wire power thingy where you put it like a power pad and it charges the case and the case charges the dudes?
Totally. Well, I upgraded. I set up, we got one of those all-in-one stands. So you throw the AirPods in the middle, the Apple Watch around it, and the iPhone to the side. So that all just charges right here in one little doodad next to my Stream Deck.
Hey!
You got a Stream Deck?
Talk to us about it.
You're kind of a big deal.
Well, allow me as I put all the lumens up on this here.
Enhanced. Do, 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 do. Enhanced.
Enhanced. Do, 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 do. And then back down. I got the Stream Deck Mini, which is a device from Elgato. It allows you to program, in this case, 6 little widgets that do things that are helpful. And that pairs with the absurdly big key light, Elgato key light, that's supposed to make you look pretty when you're streaming. When I turn it off, as you can see, Just like there's no shading on that side.
Yeah.
It's a little too stark of a contrast. My glasses reflect more. Pop that on. Actually evens it out pretty well. So working on the glasses reflection side, I think I might need to pop it up a little higher. But overall, pretty pleased. I don't think I'm going to need two of them, though.
Yeah, so my understanding is, like, if you have two of them, you have one set at a decent brightness and you have the other one set really low just to kind of negate some of the shadow and stuff, which is kind of what I have. But I also have a window on one side, so during the day, I don't really need the second one. But, like, it does make a huge difference.
Oh, wow. It really does. Yeah, like, you go from, like, when you blast it, you look like the ghost of Christmas past. When you don't, it looks like you're a hacker. Maybe you stole some GOP money, allegedly.
So that's mine all the way up.
Oh, you look like Satan.
Yeah, well, JJ's got the problem. He's got that super bright window behind him.
Mm. Yeah, I close it pretty regularly, but the sun just hits it in the wrong way. Yeah. But I usually have mine just enough to make sure that my bald spot doesn't, like, shine. That's what I hate. Because somebody called me out on that on a call once, and I'm like, it's kind of a dick thing to say.
Wow, total. Do that?
That's a pretty rude thing, even amongst friends.
So you have six buttons on your Stream Deck?
Yeah. Right now, I had no idea what I was doing. I found it less intuitive than I thought it would be.
Yeah, so it is pretty unintuitive.
I just threw them all related to the lights just so I could get used to fiddling with the light, since that was my main priority. But now I'm reading more blog posts and interacting with a couple of people who one woman in the DevRel collective wrote a Go application that uses their API so that you can run the Stream Deck from Linux and still have a programmatic interface to it. And that sounds pretty awesome because I don't like only using my Mac right now. It's starting to bug me. I want my Linux back, especially with Fedora 33 out.
So you wired it into your, okay. So I have mine wired into my streaming laptop, which is weird because So I have a laptop dedicated just to streaming that has its own wire and all that jazz. And I connect to it, with all my like OBS and crap like that on there. And it's weird because my Stream Deck, it doesn't control the machine I'm normally looking at. Right. So it's a little bit counterintuitive but then I have like all the scenes that I can switch back and forth really quickly with and things like that. Though there are some really crazy things if you do it on your main machine. I know people who've actually hooked Photoshop and things up to it where it becomes like a normal thing they use with their computer. Not just for quote unquote streaming, but it actually becomes a programmatic way to do like macros and things like that on your laptop or on your machine. So
honestly, like I'm keeping an eye on my return window here because if I enjoy this enough, I might upgrade to the bigger one because somebody started advising like, hey, use it for screenshots. You know, such a trivial thing, but just to be able to like tap a button to screenshot, that'd be so satisfying.
You also have a button to tweet. I have three standard tweets that I have now that if I ever need to like be like I'm live, I hit a button and it tweets directly for me to say that JJ's live on IBM Developer right now.
I could have a tweet that says Paul made me do it with no context.
That's actually good. Pretty good. That's
pretty good. That's actually pretty good. What's your one tweet, Paul? I'm eating right now.
That'll work. Yeah, you know, I haven't set it up to do tweets because I just don't like the idea of sending like the generic same tweet.
Yeah.
Well, you can only do that once a day. That there's algorithms to make sure that you can't like spam the same thing over and over and over again.
Oh, okay.
So at least like if you accidentally hit it like four times, it only goes once.
I just mean in general, like the idea of like just sending the same generic tweet. Just I don't know. I'd rather just write a tweet, but then of course I never actually do because it sounds like effort.
Yeah. You only have the audacity to snark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
go.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just to wrap up my last thought about it. The whole reason why I do it is I expect, like, when I stream, I don't know who's looking at the Twitter feed that's following me at the time, right? Like, that's the whole point. So the chance that if I hit that button and they brought up Twitter and saw that I was live, I hope that they might click that link. That's like the only reason why I ever do it. Or the announcement like an hour ahead of time to say that I'm prepping. Maybe you have nothing to do in an hour and you want to see me kind of like flail around randomly on a computer for X amount of time.
Yeah, we understand how Twitter works and how you can use it to show people what you're doing.
So you have 280 characters to be able to put a message in. You can put in pictures. You can put in polls. I can keep going if you want. Now, originally, it was 40404 was the SMS number you were supposed to SMS to be able to post to Twitter. Wow, no one's stopping me. I was so expecting someone to be like, all right, JJ, you've done enough, but you're just letting me
go. I mean, you have done enough, but like, I just want to give you enough rope. I'm happy with that.
We just really want you to hang out with us. Yeah. Well, so what's going on in your worlds? It's the week before a thing happening in the US. So let's talk about anything but that.
Anything but that. Yeah. So I got a new machine. Did I mention this last time? I don't
know if I
hadn't quite got it. Yeah.
So it's brand new.
Brand new Windows machine. It's a Dell like something something T5 something number. And it's got like 32 gig of RAM, a terabyte of SSD, a bunch of CPUs, a bunch of NVIDIA Coopers or whatever they're called for doing graphics, like 3D rendering and like video encoding and decoding and stuff to help with the OBS.
I didn't get a virtual
visor, no. But I decided to stick with Windows and see how I go. And so I'm doing the Windows with the Windows subsystem for Linux, which is interesting. I have definitely come across things I don't like, but I'm struggling through those. One of the obvious things is Alt-Tab doesn't seem to work the way I think it should work.
Why break a good thing? What is Alt-Tab doing?
Oh no, Alt-Tab is working now.
Who's hitting Control Tab this whole time?
Live update.
Oh, I know
Live
what update. It is. I was hitting Windows Tab because for some reason on Linux I was having to use Windows Tab. Mm. That's what it is. So that's on me. That's not on Windows.
That's still blame Windows.
Yeah. Oh. but certainly I'm finding like tools like OBS and other things, like their best support is on Windows. So when it comes to that side of things, it's quite refreshing. I'm having fun figuring out the VS Code stuff. So VS Code has an option to like edit files directly inside your like one of your WSL2 Linux guests. So I can sort of do all my command prompt stuff in Linux, but have VS Code running in Windows connected to its file system. So that works pretty well. So I'm reasonably happy. I'll probably stick with it for a bit longer and, you know, maybe I'm finally at the point where it's no longer the year of the desktop, the year of Linux on the desktop for me. Mm-hmm. This year for me is the year of Windows on the desktop. It really is 2020.
We've come full circle.
It really is 2020.
So do you feel like that's another example of the end of times, or are you feeling like it's actually kind of a neat OS?
I feel like it's kind of a neat OS. So here's a thing I discovered, which I figured out why, is Windows 10 wants you to use either like facial recognition or a PIN number to log in. And yeah, exactly. If you have your laptop closed, you can't use facial recognition. And I keep my laptop closed because I have an external monitor. And it can't do facial recognition through an external camera, or at least I haven't found the setting for it. Then you use a PIN instead. And so at some point they've decided that like a 6-digit PIN number, which is almost always going to be your birthday, is the most secure way to like secure a corporate laptop.
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's
maybe it would tell you can't have that.
Okay. Yeah, but still, yeah, your birthday though. That's pretty random. I mean,
1111111. One,
right. And when they make you do it and change it in 90 days, you do 1111112.
Well, that's what I'm waiting to see if they try and make me change my PIN. Because if they try and make you change your PIN every 90 days, that's going to be like super frustrating.
Absolutely. Yeah, even harder to remember.
But I think the reason it's happened was because when Windows 10 was coming out, everyone was convinced that like computers were dead and everything was going to be tablets. Mm-hmm. And so Microsoft had this range of tablets. And so I'm guessing like the PIN and stuff sort of came about because of the tablet and then just kind of became the default for Windows 10.
Mm.
Interesting. Weird evolution.
Yeah.
Why didn't tablets end up taking over? I guess because they never got terminal prompts.
To get a tablet to be as useful as a computer, you needed to make it a computer. And at that point, you might as well just use a computer.
Yeah.
Like that, by the time you stick a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse on it and you plug into an external monitor, you may as well just have a laptop.
That's true.
And then you have those like weird like folding laptops that like the tops twist and rotate and it can be a laptop or a tablet. And but that's just all these weird hinges and stuff ready to break when you drop it.
So I was actually, it's apropos because last night I went on a little spirit quest to try to find a keyboard for my iPad Air 2, because it turns out there's one game on it that you can't run on an iPhone. It's iPad only, and it's a little programming game called like TI-100P or something like that. It's like a puzzle game. And I tried using the soft keyboard on it, and I'm like, this is dumb. Like, why? Like, I need to like actually sit down and program something. I need to think about it. The soft keyboard screen thing is just not good. And then I realized, I was like, well, I'm just turning my iPad into a laptop as soon as I buy a keyboard for this thing. So, right.
So, Matt, I have a question for you. Do we need to have an intervention with JJ about his use of the term Spirit Quest or about his use of the ableist term dumb? Which of those two is the more concerning thing that JJ just said?
I think that's going to be a homework assignment for JJ.
All right.
Look, you come back next week and tell us which one was more rude to a larger group of people, or just maybe we don't worry about the size of a group of people and we just skip out on that. What you're saying.
I'm working on my vernacular. I am. I stumble every once in a while.
Hey, that's what we're here for, to call each other out so that we can
do it.
And there's nothing better than calling someone out in a public forum.
Yeah.
Wait, this is public?
Well, public for
dozens.
Dozens.
There are dozens of us. Yeah. The Venn diagram of never nudes and listeners to this podcast, I feel like is pretty much a circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You might have seen podcast co-host that I found the Halloween candy. What are you all planning for Halloween or not planning for Halloween? JJ, you're the only one with like replicas.
Yes.
What do you have to do with the littles?
So that was a contentious conversation inside the household for obvious reasons. So what we've come down on and decided what we are going to do is we bought another fire pit. So we are going to, I live on a cul-de-sac. So we're going to take over our cul-de-sac. We're going to put a fire pit in there. We're going to make it very obvious that it is only for us and our neighbors, because our neighbors have kids, my kid's age too. And a buddy of mine with his daughter is going to come around. And we're going to have we got some black lights and some like neon chalk stuff to like paint on the ground and stuff. And before that, before it gets dark, the Texas Longhorns are playing football. So we're going to watch the football game, indulge in some adult beverages that if you might know me, I might enjoy. And then after that, start a little bonfire. Basically get the kids all wired up on sugar and then crash, and then barbecue some meat and then paint some stuff outside, sit around the fire, continue with some good adult beverages. And then if anyone decides to walk anywhere near our house, we'll say, no, go away. This is no, walk away. So now we said, make sure nobody comes.
Take over the cul-de-sac. So you're literally going to set up the fire on the road?
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe at the top of my street, top of my driveway, top of my driveway. Right. So it'll be on my property, but basically it's going to be obvious that it's, and we don't get trick-or-treaters down the road that I live down. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so far away from everything. It's just far enough to be annoying.
And it's a pretty steep road leading to you. And mm-hmm. so it means people would have to drive their kids to you to trick or treat you. Because let's face it, kids aren't walking up and down that hill.
Yeah. I barely can myself.
So are you buying like a big bag of candy for kids or just giving them apples with razors in them yourself? Or what are you doing?
I've already broken into it. Costco's
a wonderful. You're not going to make them cheesy zucchini boats.
Hey, those were a win, man. As much as you give me hell about it, they were pretty damn good.
Wait, bring me into this conversation, and we haven't talked about food yet. That is actually pretty strange for us. So, what hellscape did he make, JJ?
So
we talked about this a while back on the podcast. You may not remember, but JJ was boasting about his healthy cooking by filling zucchini boats with cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The things I suppress from the show are plentiful.
Well, while we're on that topic, I should also mention, JJ, mm-hmm. that pasta salad does not count as salad.
What?
That needs to be said. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I need to learn this one. That's good stuff. But okay, so Paul,
that's my name.
What did we cook this last weekend?
Yeah. So, yes, on Friday, was it Friday?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah, on Friday, JJ and I had a little socially distanced grill session, and so we I had in my freezer. Savings for a special occasion.
No. Let's originally say what the original plan was, and then you surprised me with this.
Oh, the original plan was I was just going to bring some meat pizza over dough. And we wouldn't cook it.
No, pizza dough. We were doing pizza.
Remember? Dough. Yeah.
You're teaching me how to make pizza for an actual pizza oven.
Yes. Yeah. So JJ has a rotisserie/pizza attachment for his Big Green Egg. And so we were going to try the pizza side of that out. And so I made some sourdough pizza base and I made a tomato sauce and sort of got all those bits and pieces. But I also found in my freezer some actual Japanese A5 Wagyu steak. And I was saving that for a special occasion. And special occasions are kind of few and far between these days. So I was like, fuck it. Tonight is going to be a special occasion.
Yeah. You're in social contact with a friend. That seems pretty special right now.
Right. And so we had that. And then we had, because the pizza attachment is also has a rotisserie attachment. I told JJ to get a chicken and we would trial out doing a rotisserie chicken. And so that's what we did. We made pizza, which turned out pretty well. We had some issues. Like the actual base of the pizza was perfect from like the heat that you can get in the Big Green Egg, but we weren't getting enough heat like over the top and back down to the top to like really crisp up the top of the cheese and stuff.
Yeah.
So we do need to work on that. I think that might be a fire management thing, but I did say to JJ, if you get the base just right, have the oven running with the broiler. And just like slam it under the broiler for like 30 seconds after you've done the rest and it'll be perfect. So we did that. And then JJ has a little Korean barbecue like top for his portable propane thing. And so we actually cooked the Wagyu on that. And so we sliced it into several pieces. We took a big wedge of the fat off and we kind of greased up the top of the pan with the Wagyu fat. And then we cooked it. And that was phenomenal. You know, the difference between, say, USDA Prime from your local HEB and, say, Snake River Farms Wagyu was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But then the difference between like the Snake River Farms Wagyu and then proper Japanese A5 is like even bigger gap again. It's just incredible.
I recorded a little sound of cooking the meat. So I will splice that in about right here. So or maybe I'll put that in as the intro, just as a way to start the
way to break that fifth wall again.
Hey man, hey, this is all, everyone who listens to this is on the same adventure we all are, where they're all part of the podcast. They just don't realize it.
Right.
That's wild. Wait, so like I guess I can't quite comprehend how rare this meat is. Like not the temperature by at which you cooked it, but just how difficult is it to come so by
a cut of meat like your Wagyu in Japan is graded, with A5 being like the highest grade you can get. And like the Japanese are pretty serious about their meat grading. And so to get A5 means it has to be the most perfect piece of steak you can possibly get. And so that's just a Japanese Wagyu. Like there's not a lot of space in Japan to grow cows, right? And so by the time you have like all the other ranges of cows up to A5, there's really not a lot of A5s. And until recently, you couldn't even like import A5 from outside of Japan. And they finally made it possible for you to be able to. And so you can actually occasionally see it at Costco, but it's like an entire like strip for like $3,000 type thing. Buying it by the steak, there's some companies online that do it. Crowd Cow is kind of the current like favorite. And you go for, I don't know, I think my steak was probably $120 or something. So it's, you know, it's expensive, but it's a once a year or once a lifetime kind of thing to do.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
The disadvantage and the other, of not being down the street from you fellas.
The other good thing about like Wagyu is it's so fatty and so rich that you don't need a lot of it. So it wasn't a huge steak. Like it was a big steak, but it was thin. And like it was more than enough for JJ and I. Like I wouldn't have wanted to have eaten that whole thing. I mean, I would have got it done, but I feel like it would have been just too much sort of like rich food.
That's a great way to describe it. Like it's one of those things that like, as much as I'd want to buy some of this and like give it to my family to say, have and just enjoy this. It's one of those things where you have like open a really nice bottle of wine, but you only really appreciate that really nice bottle of wine if you understand what goes into the flavor profile and where the nose comes from and stuff like that. Where if I put this steak in front of my youngest, for instance, who absolutely adores meat, but she just like go whomp kind of thing and just like swallow it, not really like realize that there's depth to it. There's like you let it sit and play on your tongue for a minute kind of thing, where you can truly like embrace it. It's one of the few times in my life that I really did like feel and really did appreciate that moment, if that makes sense. Like the other time that I gotten remotely close was in wherever that bull place is in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I forget that type of meat. It's like a very specific type of bull meat. Where
no, I think it was a cow. But it was a 6-year-old cow, so very old for a cow. And they're a type of cow that's like 4 times larger than a normal cow. And then it was dry aged for some ridiculous amount of time. So So that's our food updates. What else is anything else food? You had a ramen run, Matt.
Yeah, we went over that.
We did?
Yeah. I feel like we're
did.
All...
Yeah, we did.
Our brains are broken, man.
No, they are.
It's okay.
Actually, so Broberg, you inspired me to start looking at some ramen videos. And I actually found one that I was, it was Korean ramen, which I thought was interesting. And this one gentleman, one of the recipes he showed was 350 milliliters of water in a pan. So it's not actually covering the ramen completely, with half of the packet on there, where you boil it in that, and then you let all the water kind of get sucked up into it. And then you crack an egg on the top, and then you put two slices of American or whatever cheese, and then close it. And it becomes like this not souped instant ramen, like meal, I guess is a good way to describe it, because it's not really, there's no real water to it. I did I've only done it once, and I put too much water in it this time around, but I learned my lesson. I was genuinely surprised on how well the cheese, egg, and not watery, but loose, I guess is the right word, ramen noodles with the packet came together really, really well. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a decent number of ramens that are actually meant to be eaten not soupy.
Yeah,
I thought that was all those cold ramen ones. So
no, Paul seemed truly excited. My mind was a little blown by that. I'll say, like, the first recipe I stole some tips from was a New York Times one, and they all of theirs are no broth. Like, I feel like they're like, we're not going to go into that because you all are not going to do it right. So let's just give you the overall vibe. But that's where I learned charring some scallions. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I could do that all the time. Like, just throw a ton of scallions in. So delicious with just a little sesame oil.
Yeah. Wait, so scallions, actually, not scallops, right?
Yeah. Yeah, scallions, okay, not
just,
scallops.
Just checking.
Just like lightly seared scallops.
One of my favorite things to use as a dip is you just get a shit ton of scallions and you blacken them on over charcoal, and then you blitz them up with like sour cream.
That's it.
And that's it. And a little bit of salt.
Well, yeah.
And it's just so good.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Scallions are little magic balls of flavor. I had no idea. I underappreciated them as a onion like object. Yeah. But I have done pretty much bupkis when it comes to cooking this week. Just feeling lower energy for political reasons and catching up on work post vacation. So mostly been eating out. I wasn't going to tonight, but then the one place that's a really good barbecue spot in Minneapolis, not only has their barbecue pho back on the menu on a slightly cold night, but they also have you're entered into a lottery to win an entire cook brisket for Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
So I had to. So I bought some pho that I'm going to pick up in a couple hours. And
nice.
It looks pretty fun. It's like a very cool play on pho and all the barbecue fixings that they have. They've got really excellent meatballs that are supposed to substitute for the kind of fish meatball that you'll have in a more traditional pho. So nice. Very fun.
Cool.
So who's on point for buried the lead today?
Buried the meme, sir. Buried the meme.
Buried the segment. We're just trying it out. So,
I took a stab in the dark.
JJ, don't apologize for it before you do it. Just do it.
Okay. All right. Blank launches $961 COVID face shield. What is blank?
That's not it at all.
Oh.
Oh my God. JJ, I take it back. You're right to apologize for it.
Okay. I have one that I think is more towards the objective. We can still answer. I like your trivia game, JJ. We can introduce that sometimes. So yeah,
it's not news against humanity.
News against humanity. Okay. Well, for the sake of just being kind people, Paul, any guesses as who would launch such an expensive face shield?
I mean, probably like a fashion house or like a fancy tech startup. So I'm going to go for, let's go for Gucci.
Okay. That's a good guess. I just thought it was ridiculous. And that's why I chose this.
What's your guess?
I'm trying to think of one that I'm willing to say on a recorded line. nope, got nothing.
It's Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton has released their own face shield, which I was just like, this is bonkers. Like, I get it, but at the same time, no.
It's really helpful. It's a helpful reminder that there are people that are just looking to spend money that they have. And like, there are companies who are more than happy to oblige. Yeah. That goes for software as much as it goes for Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
So I have it's less of a meme, but same philosophy of a unclear title that you would have to figure out.
That's the goal.
That's the thing. Ready? All right. JJ, you're up first on figuring this out. The title of the post, I'll give you a heads up. It's from a few months ago, but still well in the realm of our time. It's called The Inevitable Has Happened.
The Inevitable Has Happened. Can I get a like sphere other than just that we would touch that sphere?
It's related to tech.
Docker finally was sold.
I'm gonna circle back to why that's a really funny poll. It's not correct, but so okay, the funny part of that is the reason I bookmarked this and finally got around to reading it is because Donnie Burkholz is tweeted it out and it seemed pretty smart. Right. And he is now VP of product at
Docker.
Mirantis.
I think he's at the original Docker.
The original like open source spinoff.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Paul, the inevitable has happened.
And it was a couple of months ago.
Related to technology.
I mean, I feel like it almost has to be something container or Kubernetes related.
Mm-hmm.
Is it I haven't got a good guess. I was thinking maybe something to do with what was the other container orchestrator that dropped its Rocket. Own thing for Kubernetes?
Mesos?
Mesosphere, yeah.
Oh.
But it's probably
Mesosphere is a company. Mesos was the two-layer orchestrator. They were playing three-dimensional chess while Kubernetes was playing checkers, and they were little did they know that most people can only ever play checkers in their life.
Yeah. Well, I think it was more like three-dimensional Connect Four. I don't think it was as quite as intelligent as like chess.
Did you know Connect Four is a solved game? I recently learned this. We've solved Connect Four. Like you can get a win. So game theory, right? Every game is solvable at some point, right? Like chess.
Well, that's not true, but that's not what game theory means. But,
I'm sorry. In creating games, there's a way to solve every single like when you solve a game, whatever the board.
What you're saying is like a guaranteed win.
Yeah.
So here are the moves you make that will make sure you always win every single time.
Yep. It's a solved game.
Cool.
Well, it reminds me to never play that. All right. Well, we have buried this far enough. This is more of like a thought piece kind of one. This article goes into the financial impact of COVID and the spoiler alert of while so many other systems are struggling, the tech sector is making more money than ever. He points to Microsoft saw revenue grow by $35 billion for this in the second quarter compared to $30.5 billion for the same quarter in 2019. Amazon's revenue came in over $75 billion. Apple reported earnings of $58 billion. And the sort of punchline is that also these companies are hiring like crazy. Like Uber Eats is basically all what of making money for Uber right now. Amazon hired 175,000 people. And it all circles back to this idea that like we are now in a time where we can live in our entire lives online. Mm-hmm. And we were forced to in more of a way than any of us ever could have anticipated. And yeah, there's some really interesting repercussions of that. But yeah.
So the inevitable is the dystopian future.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it, you know, the dystopian aspect is, you know, a choose your own adventure and choose your own worldview. I think the inevitable is that like this internet experiment has become the thing. It's no longer
it's a fad. People, I still believe it's a fad. I don't know about you.
It's yeah, exactly. Like the fad state or not is aside. It's more like it's now the world economy, and it is the place normal people, not just us who nerd out for fun. Normal people live their whole lives online now too. And I think that is a huge shift in worldview for me. And I found it pretty dramatic and interesting to point out that like, seems like so many things are burning and like, we're not, like we're hiring, you're hiring.
Yep. All right. So that was pretty good. I liked it. I also have one. I just had one as a backup. And since JJ's was so terrible, I thought I could go ahead with it.
Yeah. Please,
Dick. Love you, JJ.
Oh man!
How monkeys are creating a coconut milk shortage at Costco?
Wait, what? Say it one more time.
Monkeys are creating a coconut milk shortage at Costco.
Okay.
Oh, I think I know this one. It's
well, because... hang on. If you think you know it, let Matt go first.
Okay. All right.
Oh, what the fuck? So, maybe there's some sort of weather thing happening and monkeys, some local monkeys to where these coconuts are harvested, their innate reaction is to like stockpile coconuts and they're hiding all the coconuts. And therefore there's a shortage of coconut production for coconut milk. Finn, that is my terrible.
Not even close, but you're going to wish that was the case.
Okay.
JJ.
Oh, wait, I thought it was like that. I thought I read somewhere that the monkeys are climbing the coconut trees and they're stockpiling and or using them as like weapons. They've evolved to realize that they could throw coconuts at each other. Didn't I swear I read this somewhere.
I think maybe you had a dream about it.
Oh, okay. Well, then, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So this is, I don't know how much stock I put into this, but it certainly hit the news over the last couple of days. And that is that it is alleged that a couple of the Thai producers of coconut milk use forced monkey labor to pick the coconuts from the trees. And so they apparently keep them chained up and they are forced to climb the trees and pick coconuts all day. And then they're kept in cages at night.
What?
That's terrible.
That is terrible. Now it is, the source of it all seems to lead back to PETA. And so of course, anything that PETA says, I take with a grain of salt, but apparently it is true that Costco has pulled that brand of coconut milk and some other brands.
Hmm. Oh, well, that's depressing. Right? If we're gonna go depressing, I've got one more.
All right.
VPN by Google.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I just want you to know about the latest product offering coming soon from Google that I'm sure we all know exactly what it's going to look like because it looks like all the other icons.
Yeah.
It'll probably get canceled in about 6 to 12 months. So sign me up.
Yeah. Yep. Sign you up.
Oh man. I don't mean to hate. I just can't understand. I feel so bad for the very talented designers who are being told use four colors in right. this exact pattern and make it look like the other ones. It's like mm-hmm. their brand, their product differentiation is nil.
Does the calendar one still have the date in the favor icon? Because that was always really yes. useful. Oh, okay. That was always a really useful like little tidbit that was like, oh, the fave icon had the date in it. So you didn't have to like you could see the date in the fave icon. I always thought that was neat. But still, you're right. Like, they don't look like, no, right? Like Gmail, the M for mail mm-hmm. was originally an envelope, right?
Right.
Yeah. That was clever.
It was early 2000s, but hey, I'll take it. At least it's stuck around for 20 years, unlike the rest of the product lineup. I just don't understand what the strategy is when it comes to user, like consumer grade tooling from Google, and why they haven't caught on to like the mess in their consumer space affects how people perceive their cloud space. Like you mm-hmm. can't truly separate your B2B and B2C perception. Right. And I just like, as somebody who enjoys engineering and marketing, I'm so sick of it. Like, do better. I know you're paying people a lot to do it.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever played with Chromebooks at an extended period of time?
Nope.
No. I spun up with it once. And when I started Googling a lot about how to install a custom version of Linux so you can actually get stuff running on it, I realized I just want a laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
I keep flirting with the idea of trying it for like an extended period of time. I recently found a couple tutorials on how to install Chromebook on like an old, like really old, I guess, satellite laptop I have that has, it's not in 64-bit processor, it's a 32-bit processor in there. So I can't really install anything other than like Ubuntu 18.04 on it, because that's like the last one that had non 64-bit processor support or whatever. So I was thinking about putting Chrome OS on there so I could at least play with it to kind of see if it's worth like a mobile, like as long as I have Wi-Fi access and I can get to my Google Docs and my Gmail, I was curious to see how far I could go. But then as I started playing, I realized that even though you can still have like a terminal and SSH into things now, because they have built-in terminals through like shell.azure.com or shell.ibmcloud or whatever, it's still not exactly the right thing. Like I guess what I'm struggling with is I want to know that that's all I need, but I feel like there's not enough there. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah. It's like you want it to solve a problem that you have, but you keep finding that it doesn't solve any problem completely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's like that kid that was helping you with a project in high school that was like, hey, let's meet up and like work on something. And they only show up that first time and they don't show up for any other ones. And they show up the last one and they haven't done anything. And you're like, like we've spent all this time like getting all these requirements, making this thing happen, and you're here at the very last minute and you're nowhere near what I was expecting to be part of this team. Does that make sense? It's not a very good analogy, but I think it kind of highlights it.
I like, it's a stretch, but I'll stretch with you. Are you saying like you like really want a teammate from your operating system and you just
like I want like everything needs, like the tooling should all be there for me to be able to be successful. Obviously,
have you used any operating system ever?
No.
It's all there.
Like, I can't think of a single time I've had an OS where it was more of a help than a hindrance. And I didn't have to constantly fight it to do what should be simple, obvious things. As a power user like we are.
Yeah, I guess it's true. That is true. Well, I mean, really? Windows ME was pretty nice.
I
was just ignorant at the time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to bet ignorance on that one. Because, you know, I don't feel like I fight my OS as much as I used to, like really understanding like macOS, like I know how plist management works well enough where I can tune the default behaviors, or I can install open source projects. I even have this goofy one called Finicky that lets you change Finicky to your default web browser and then gives you regex control over which browser you open based on the regex. Right. Like, you know, I can tune the stuff I want to tune.
But that's after years of pain.
Yeah. So, but you asked, like, am I fighting it now, not back then? Like, the years were put in for sure. I've been twiddling with Mac crap since they adopted, you know, Intel processors. Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to bounce back to the old ones. Or the new ones. The new is old again. I don't know what to do. How much am I? I don't know a damn thing about a processor anymore. So, like, how much do I have to be worried about
that? It's just melted sand. Whatever.
He's not wrong.
Basically, glass that can make math
ones and zeros. Yeah, make ones and zeros. So, from what I understand, the TLDR of all that, the processor for the Mac stuff, is that it looks like the idea is that everything is eventually going to become the ARM processor. So that funny joke of people used to saying that iPhones were going to slot into like MacBook Airs or whatever, and then you'd have like your whole processor inside of your phone, and then it would like extend out to a Mac, basically a MacBook Air. This feels like that's that step, right? Where they're trying to bring the Mac OS onto the ARM processor, get the ARM processor into the phones eventually, and then it'll be a unified iOS interface for everything. Like you can kind of see that's the progression they're doing, but because backwards compatibility, there's whole ecosystems around this, they can't just make that whole big one jump. It's so at least that's how I see it. And
I don't know if I see that because, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but we already saw them try and replace the desktop with like the tablet or a tablet style interface, and it didn't work.
So it's just too early. I think
it just doesn't work. Like they're both good for different things, but most people, like by the time, like anyone doing work, like any kind of knowledge work, you've got like spreadsheets, you've got documents, you've got all these things that require you to effectively have a computer, right? And I guess you could have a tablet with a keyboard and a mouse, but like I said earlier, it's basically a computer then. But you then also have an interface that's built for not having a keyboard and mouse. So I don't think there's really an end goal to make everything look like an iPhone or an iPad. Mm. I think it's more of a, you know, we're at a lot of the limits that the x86, you know, is performing wise. And we're starting to see all this interesting performance out of the ARM systems, as well as the power savings, the heat reduction. I mean, really, I mean, it's about the power, because like the longer you can keep a laptop running without being plugged in, the better, right?
And yeah, we'll, I think it's pay more
way
for
more
it.
About that. Well, yeah, but I think it's way more about that than it is about trying to unify the interface. And the idea that you would have like a phone and you would plug it into a computer and make it your computer kind of assumes that your phone is already all of the computer anyway, and everything else is just peripherals. Otherwise, trying to like get like component level speeds out of a fancy USB port is just going to be, you know, a huge bottleneck.
I see JJ's point, but from a different, maybe a slightly different angle of like, they're reducing the complexity of their production line across products, which is sure to give you, you know, the benefit of larger quantities and less crap to manage in your service delivery pipeline type stuff, right? Like bringing the CPU in-house was very much part of that, you know, be able to control your own destiny that way. So I hear what you're saying there. I love your futurist worldview, though, of like, it's not like we use much CPU most of the time. So I see your point of like, why do we need more than one CPU across these devices? But I don't see that happening soon. But I could imagine a future where like What if our laptop's just a transformer and it actually is all the pieces and you could just dirt. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you need is the brain to peripheral interface and then just use your brain as the computer.
Yeah. I mean,
it's sitting there not doing a lot. Why not let people install software on it? What could go wrong?
I mean,
I think we're closer to Idiocracy more so than that, though, unfortunately.
I don't know. Our brain has plenty of bugs that I would like to take a whack at solving. Like that codex outlines all the cognitive biases that are stuck in our head that are easily hacked. So with that note, how are you gonna do stuff that isn't depressing this weekend, Paul?
So my doing stuff that isn't depressing lately has been fishing. But I think with the cold coming through and it's picked up the wind as well, and like coldy, windy weather doesn't really make me want to get the kayak out and bob around on top of lakes. So I don't know, I'll have to see. But I have actually just recently started playing a new game called No Man's Sky, which I've been enjoying.
Heard about this.
Yeah, and so basically it procedurally generates an entire universe, or it may do it like per planet as you visit the planet or whatever, but you basically like wake up crash landed on a planet not really knowing who you are, and you have to like mine resources to fix your aircraft so you can then like fly up to a space station and meet people and start trading. And there's this like huge tech tree that you can slowly build your way through, and so it's just kind of like a space exploration resource management game that also has some just enough storyline to like keep you moving forward.
Nice.
So I've been sinking some time into that and it's been pretty fun.
Nice. And JJ, you've got probably some Halloween Festivus with your littles. What else are you
up to? In football, Longhorn football.
Cows.
Yeah. No, I just like that's, I don't see professional football. I mean, I watch for professional football, but they're all mercenaries to me. To me, college football is the purest version of the sport.
Wait, so football is the most mercenary of all because there's still billions of dollars made. They just don't pay players.
It's less mercenary. I think he prefers predatory is what I'm hearing.
Predatorial. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see why JJ's attracted to it. He seems to be into predatorial type behaviors. So, you know.
That's between the two of you and your Wagyu beef.
That's probably all I'm going to be doing this weekend. And then preparing for, actually, you know what? Let's just ask this question just point blank.
Go for it.
Are we taking the 4th off the day after the election?
It depends what happens.
I have my day blocked and meetings canceled.
Yeah.
I may show up. I probably won't.
Yeah. Yeah. I was debating that today.
I haven't even thought about it, but there's a good chance I'll either be quite relieved or deep into a depression.
Mm.
And so taking that day off either way might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. So it's a good shit, bad shit scenario. You still got to take a shower.
It's actually, I feel like it's at least it's probably not going to keep getting worse versus bad shit.
Well, obviously we don't know the outcome because it's next week, but it's one of those things that I hope for the best. I really have to hope for the best across the board. As technologists, we're in positions of privilege, but at the same time, we are affected by all this too. And we have the privilege to be able to talk about it and try to make some changes. I've done the best I can to influence, and hopefully y'all have too. And we'll just have to wait, I guess. Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to talk about this because we didn't want to get Matt depressed.
Oh, I was already depressed, and you guys make me happy, so.
All right, good. Well, maybe to end it, on Sunday, I'm actually doing similar to what you're doing, Matt, is I'm picking up some barbecue. So some friends of mine have a barbecue trailer that they're they have been trying to start for quite some time, but with recent events, they were never really able to, they never felt safe doing it. And they finally hit a point where they have everything and they've got sort of the processes and stuff down pat. And so they're doing their first service on Sunday, which is literally just like pick up, take out only from the trailer. It's not really, really a service, right? But they're doing smoked pork belly with a side of duck fat potato salad and something else. But like at pork belly with duck fat potato salad, I'm like sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you just reminded me. I'm totally going to do a duck fat thing soon. That's a great idea.
You should.
That's the next thing I want to learn.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for the inspo. I'm going to eat and work out. Like those are the two things that have brought me joy. And when I keep them in balance, I don't, you know, change the equation too much, aka my LBs.
So, hey, speaking of which, I've actually lost weight through all this. Because like I've never really, I don't regularly weigh myself or anything, but a few weeks ago I weighed myself and it was probably the first time in 6 months. And I was like 10, 12 pounds lighter than I was last time. So
that's a lot, man.
And that's probably just the lack of travel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. You're not gorging yourself around the world. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, it's not like you're getting a hard workout with the fishing.
Well, I mean, I am kayak fishing, so I do spend most of the time, you know, I usually do 4 or 5 miles of kayaking when I go fishing.
Well, that's pretty related. Cool. Well, good for you. I can't say the same, but I will say the Peloton's been helpful.
Oh, nice.
I went full bougie.
So hold on. I got to ask. I was thinking about purchasing the rowing machine. Do you actually have the bike? Is that the Peloton you have? Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to cut this into two episodes because we can't quite quit you. So, yes, it wasn't my choice. Like, my wife was gung-ho, like, wants the Peloton, going to do this thing.
Another time. We can talk about it another time. It's fine. I am curious though. Okay.
All right. Let's pause it.
Yeah. All right. Bye guys.
Bye.
Bye. We can also just stop recording and continue. Yeah.